I think today is probably one of the greatest opportunities the military could have. In the sovereignty of God and the way the movement of nations, the armies cutting back, Air Force, Navy, all of them, to a place where they're whittling down to just a few compared to what it used to be several years ago. Some panic and would say, my goodness, are we going out of work? Our audience is being taken away. But I think the audience is just being filtered out. It's being made ready for those who are responsive. We can focus better. We can go after it. But I think a whole new dynamic has come into the whole audience group of the military, and that is the phenomena of second careers. People in their 40 pluses are getting out, perhaps even before that, because of some of the special deals they're giving. And they are looking for something to do, something to give their lives to, not just a job, but something that's worth giving their life to. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity to tap in to some new experienced leadership. I had a fellow call me just the other day, perhaps you've read his book, Bob Buford's, on halftime, we were chatting, and he said, Paul, I need a military man. And he said, so I thought of you, I wanted to call you up and ask. And he's got this leadership network that goes out and ministers to parachurch and major churches all over the country. Tremendous ministry. But he said, we can't get it together. We need leadership to pull the team together, do administration, administer the whole thing, not just stay behind a computer, but put the whole thing together. And he says, if you know of a top military guy coming out of the military who wants to work and give himself to something that's worthwhile, he says, just let me know. We need him. He recognizes that there's something about a military experienced person. How many times my wife and I, having spent 7 years in the military and had gone a whole year in Vietnam and all the rest, have looked back to the very experiences we've had. The times where she's had to be alone and do things that no other normal wife had to do and put up with, and the experiences they went through and the things that we had to face. Little did I know that God was using them all to prepare our lives for life. And I've been married 35 years, and 17 of those years I've been gone. And I didn't choose that. I would never have chose that in terms of being around my family. But God equipped us through the military to handle things that we never could have handled before. To get things together, to minister to people, to get in and make relationships, to understand the struggles people go through. What I'm trying to just communicate is something you already know, but perhaps just turn up the heat a little higher. We desperately need leaders. I'd love to see the day come again where many, many of our leaders start their testimonies talking about their military experiences. We need them. It's time to really pour on the steam. And they're out there. They just need to be challenged. We're afraid sometimes to challenge some of these people to get out of it, leave it. I was just with a young man in Africa, Zimbabwe. We've just asked him to be our Zimbabwe director. He's 36 years old. He has a job. He's a vice president of a big computer outfit. Bought this big home, and he and his wife, very gifted in ministry, people around him, and he's struggling, should I go full time? Because he's just bought this house, and now he's got this great mortgage payment. He had two, she was working, he was working, had it all. They were going to be transferred for a year to South Africa, where he doubled his income, so he just went ahead and bought the house and figured it'd be a good investment. And suddenly, his wife left the work, left her job, and then they canceled the assignment. And so he's back. So I asked him, I said, do you think God's in this? Was God looking another way when you did all those things? So he said, well, I don't know what to do. He says, we got this house, we've got this other, and I can't afford it. They could never afford me if I went full time. I said, yeah, they would. They would. But God can take care of you. God, you know, he just needs to make that tough decision. I asked him, what's more important to you? What do you want to give your life to? And that's what we need, to get back to that. Not just challenging people just to kind of find another job, but give your life away. We don't have a whole lot of time, I don't think, in this society. It's not holding up very well. So let's just keep praying for that. My subject is teams, teamwork, in the context of mission. And you've got a little handout there and some of the things that we'll look at. Just put up some verses that are very familiar with you. to you. And when I talk about team, what I'm talking about is body life teams. I think that's a little bit of an adjustment to our thinking on teams. I don't know what's wrong with us sometimes as to in our world. I think part of it's our history, the history of our, not only our work, but the history of our nation. Very individualistic. We'll do it ourselves. Came out of the World War II idea that let's, you know, every man stand on his own feet and do his own work. We began to interpret our Bible as only one-on-one. I was in a group of Africans. We were talking about 2 Timothy 2:2, and it never got into their minds. They never even thought of it as not being in the context of a team, because their culture is all groups and teams and people and together. They never saw Paul individually, only every time, just together, the two of them working with Timothy. And then working with, but it was always in the context of a team. And it was the only Africans that would figure that out, but we didn't. We read our Bible, it was only one man. I remember when I came back from Europe in 84 and took over the Eastern Division, and I said, we've got to have teams. And I got three couples and told them, how about forming a team and go to a campus and show them what a team likes that works together. And I called it a body life team. Came back a year later, and you know what they did? They divided it into three sections, and they each had individual ministries. We're unhelpable. We can't overcome this. And if we don't, we're going to be hurting, desperately so. And then we get through the period of history where it was always the leader and his team. The leader and his team. And now we need to get to a new way, because there are a lot of reasons, but understand it's a team with a leader. It's a team with a leader. A big difference on that. We have to just learn to adjust on that, and perhaps we're working towards that because we need it. Now, these key verses are very important to us, because 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we all have different kinds of gifts, different kinds of services, different kinds of working, and not just for diversity's sake, but to come together, to impact. And God works in all of them, through all of them, to all men. But the part in there, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So God has made you and made me into a very unique person. Same, we have eyes, nose, mouth, but we are all unique. Not uniquely made. He didn't make us uniquely. He made us all the same way. But what came out was very unique. And God wants to take those differences and pull them together to make something that really works and impacts. And we see that, how we've had our own experiences with it, and we need to keep growing in what this means. Ephesians 4, of course, tells us more about the different gifting and different types of people needed to pull this off. And it says to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the purpose. There is no team without a purpose, without a context, without a mission, if you will. And so this is the idea that just keeps working through 1 Peter 4 as well. I'll come back to Ephesians 4 and add on 16 in just a moment. So why teams? You look at this, you see our history. Recently with this snowstorm, I had a good experience of what teams. I was thinking a lot about teams. And so my one son, his wife, and his two small children were flying into Colorado Springs to interview for a new job in Denver. And they were headed for Colorado Springs, but on the way when they got to Chicago, they were diverted to Denver because they had closed Colorado Springs. So he winds up in Denver. Well, I'm looking and seeing how this snow is coming, and I'm saying, this is not going to work. They're going to be up there alone, and they're going to be here with these little kids. They don't have a lot. And it did turn out that they spent with thousands of others camped out in Denver Airport. But I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking, gotta get them, gotta go get them. You know, sometimes you think more with your heart than your head. And so my wife's saying, sweetheart, you cannot make it. I said, I can make it. I'll do it. So I took off with my Jeep Cherokee four-wheel drive and headed on up. Well, I got up to Monument Hill, which is the big high one. If you get over that, you're okay. Trucks stopped all over, people all rest, and I started through. And we thought a wrecker was moving them and all the rest, but it wasn't happening. We got up there blowing and blowing. You knew how it was. And so we saw that the wreckers and the, the plows had just left, just gone. So we were all sitting, waiting in this line. So several of us talk and say, listen, let's just go together. We can make it if we stay together. So we did, and three of us took off in cars, and we worked our way. We got all the way up to Castle Rock, and they stopped plowing. There was nothing left, and it was about 3 or 4 foot drift, so we could not go forward. Well, with great disappointment, it was about 3 or 4 in the morning, I turned around and came back. Well, it was a good thing, because so many times, one would get stuck, and we'd start pulling each other out. The three of us made it all the way back. I mean, it was amazing how we did. We pulled ourselves out of situation. We looked down and said, oh, because we couldn't figure out where the road was. Now, some of you may have the problem like that without snow, but this is, we had, every once in a while we'd see a marker. Oh, there's a marker. Whoop, back over here, you know. And so, but the problem is we went off the road right at I-25 in Woodman. We couldn't go any farther. And a bunch of the people that were giving me a ride, because my mine got stuck finally, and they were giving me a ride, and here we were. So we went into the Hampton Inn. We're absolutely freezing. Haven't gone, you know, done any work or any, the clothes I had were not sufficient, you know, so we're there. So I call up my wife. I said, I'm less than a half a mile as the crow flies from you. So I'll just walk over. You know, every once in a while you remember that you're a ranger and you say, I can do this, you know. So she said, sweetheart, you will not walk. She says, it is blowing, it is cold, you don't have a hat, you don't have anything. I said, well, I just move fast. She said, there is no moving fast. She says, look outside. So I said, okay, well, I called my other buddy, who also would understand my dilemma. I said, I'm not going to stay here, I'll have to stay another night. They had no hotel accommodations, nothing. So he said, well, I'll be over. So he lived real close, and he's a hunter, so he had all the equipment. So he comes with a backpack full of a second set of gear. And he says, let's start out. So I told my wife, I said, honey, we're going to walk back with Terry Raitt, and then he's going to leave me at his house, and I'll take the back way to our house, just over the railroad tracks and over a few places. She says, sweetheart, that's going to be really bad. I said, well, it's just a short way. It's only a half mile, and I said, we'll make it. So the two of us pushed through this, you know, stomping, and the two of us, and it was actually fun. You know, when there's two, it really makes a difference. And I forgot, because he would take lead for about 40 yards and so, and then I would take lead, and we're just pushing through the snow and wind blowing. So we got to the end, and we kind of laughed, we were talking, and I had to take off. So I was going to go down and go through this other way. Well, I got going that way. Now, the first 30 yards or so was fine, but then I got into it, and it was drifts, and it was up to here, and I was pushing. I started to think, I said, well, I'll do this. And I keep pushing, and I push aside, and I'd go, and I got halfway into there, and I could either go forward or back, and I thought to myself, I got so discouraged. I got discouraged. I got doubtful about my own capacity to do this. I thought, nobody's going to know where I am. I'm completely out all by myself. And not only that, but I started to walk through, and I lost my step, and I fell into a deep drift, and it fell back, and I could not get myself righted. And so here I am. I'm thinking, I've been through all this in life, and I can see it now. 56-year-old man dies frozen in the... You know, it was crazy. And I thought to myself, what a difference when you have somebody with you. You know? It's just really tough. So I did make it back, obviously. So kept pushing, inch by inch. Remember that. I thought, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. You know? And I thought, that's right. Just take your time. And we worked through it. Got home, my wife was crying, sending out people and calling in neighbors. And anyhow, there I was, Mr. Snowman, when I walked in. But teams, how crucial. Teams, having someone with you. How many times have you been in a situation and you felt alone? How many times would you be someplace where you thought, if I only had some help here? That's what we need. We need to do that. We need it as married couples. We need it as teams. We need it. And anything we in part do together. So I put down why I have teams. The task is so great, it cannot be done alone. David talked about Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10. Two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Jonathan, the armor bearer, together, 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7. Both of them pushing together, just the two of them. Let's go up and do it. And the armor bearer says, you go, I'll be with you. Just in two and what they did. Paul and his partners, we see that. The task is so great, we need to work together. The complexities and rapid unpredictable changes of our world today. They need more different eyes, different ears, different gifts, different minds and abilities. And if they don't have them, we will not cope and be able to respond. Things are changing so fast today. If you read through the top companies even, they have figured it out. They're operating in teams all the time. We just can't make it that way. The enemy is clever, relentlessly after us to destroy us and destroy the works of God's people. And we need to be understanding that. That's very clear. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled. Be alert when the devil, like a roaring lion, stalks about, goes about seeking those he could devour. And we all know the tales. In every one of them, a lot of you know I do a lot of looking in research on development of people, and especially development of leaders. And so when one falls, I can now at this point almost guess, give them three reasons, and it's probably all or one of those. But every one of the major people I've talked to, from Gordon McDonald on down, had time with them to talk about how did it happen. Every one of them did what? Isolated themselves. Isolated themselves. So it's not only for protection, but it's also for what can happen. Greater sense of satisfaction, contribution among the team members. It's fun to be in a good team. It really is. It takes the pressure away. You know the gifts and strengths that you're going to throw in. It's just fun. It brings high energy and great fruitfulness. The collective resultant effort is greater than the sum of the individual parts. And that's so true. And then I've added one more that I put under others here is greater decentralization possibilities. Greater decentralization possibilities. Now, why is that? Because teams have more capacity within themselves to be self-directed, to care for themselves. It tremendously reduces the amount of overhead leadership because you've got people down there. It's like when Paul, when he had the confidence in Acts 20 to say, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you to the grace of God and the word of God, but I'm also, what he didn't say, is I'm leaving you together as a team. They're together, and so he could leave them. It's when Titus could go to Crete and say, and point those leaders and then pull back. Why? He could leave them. They had a team. Because, and we're getting good teams, of course, are very self-directed, and that's important. So what is a team? Let me just move a little bit along here. I've asked the question there, what does a group of people need for a team? Well, if you go to the second part there, I've put in a couple definitions. Definition of team. Basic definition. The second one is the one that I've been working with a lot. A group of people who need each other in order to accomplish something that is important to them. A group of people who need each other to accomplish something that's important to them. So at what point does a team become a team? Does a group of people become a team? I can take some of the best basketball players, Michael Jordan and all the rest, take five of them, put them out in the court and say, guys, you're a team. Are they a team? They're just a group of basketball players, aren't they? At what point do they become a team? What point do they really become a team? I've asked that question here. Think about that, this question right here. What would a group of people need to become an effective team? Take about 2 minutes and talk to your neighbor. And if you don't think your neighbor knows anything, talk to the other neighbor. It's just, now just talk to your neighbor, just back and forth. Come up with a couple reasons as to what elements will make an effective team. What does a group of people need to make an effective team? Just a couple thoughts. Okay, I think you've got the gray matter's moving here. We'll work it out. You know, it's an exciting thing to be in a group, particularly as experienced as this one and having a wide variety of ages. I bet that there isn't a problem we could surface, that a life problem, a ministry problem, that someone in this group, or many someones, didn't already have experience with this. You know, I bet we could solve the world's problems. I mean, you know, we could move Clinton over. This could be it. But this, Okay, let's just have some thoughts. What would a group of people need to become an effective team? Okay, go ahead. Right in here. Trust. Okay. Trust in God? Okay. So God and each other. Okay, next one. Common purpose, okay? Oh, boy. Common enemy. We won't ask him to expand on that. Okay, we've got that here. Purpose and objective, okay? Good. Okay, knowledge of each other, all right? When you say that... you're talking about what? Strengths, gifts. Uh-huh. Okay. How about over here? Anyone? Whoop. I got there and it comes over there. All right. Okay. Love. Good. All right. Love for one another. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Effective communication. Wow. Okay. There's got to be a leader. All right. Okay. Coordinated. Okay, plan or strategy, all right?
Roles defined.
Roles. Roles of the various members of... Okay, roles defined. Good, okay.
Well, I said roles.
She was... Right, she was talking about the bakery type. And there's... No. No, no. She's got them all here. She had it. Roles, you're talking about roles and contributions. Yeah, great, thanks. Okay, accepted. And you said what? Acceptable, okay. And so that you wanted to make that distinction because of why?
Many people are put in roles, but they don't have enough performance, but they don't really accept.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay, so you've got roles not accepted by me, the person, but also the others. Okay? Yes?
Humility to defer.
Defer to one another. Okay, great. Okay, values, common values. Boy, you guys are a wealth of knowledge here. Yeah. Okay, sense of being needed. Good, commitment, very good. All right, I'm going to hold it there. Okay, well.
Tied together.
Tied together? Oh, time together. Okay, who's it? Tom. You know, the light is bright, and I could only see a shadow stand up, and Tom said that, and then started talking about it, and I said, that must be Tom. Good to see you, brother. Okay. One more.
Practice.
Oh, practice together. Oh, all right. Okay. Why'd they put Tom? Every team needs a Tom, right? That's it. Humor, life, you know, it's great. Okay. Okay. Boy, you were the only name that came up there. That's great, Tom. Well, we'll get to a chance. Oh, back ahead. You know, that is underwriting on all of this, isn't it? It's okay. I believe... I need a team. Okay. And if we don't get to that point, and I think that's probably where we had a lot of trouble in our history. We believe we could do it like I did on the snow, so you never get over it. You still think that you can do things by yourself, but we need it. Well, let's just look here at these. Yes, Wayne. Okay, now this could make them a team, couldn't it? If they handle it right, that's true. Okay, yeah, that's very true. It's always going to be there. Excuse me? All right. Thank you. Praying together, you bet. Is this the right? Yes. It's really funny. One time the four of us in the executive team, three of us showed up at a meeting, and we all had dark blue sport coats and khakis on. You know, the same, we looked like we had the same team. He just said matching ties. So I thought, that does help unify. Okay. Well, the biblical illustrations of team, if we just take that and we look at this, and of course, all these things don't exist at the same time, but we work towards them. They're elements that make us a team. And if we went back in there, we could identify four or five that you've got to have, that the essentials. You couldn't move forward without them. And I've got a few thoughts on that, just reflections. But I'm always intrigued as I looked at the biblical illustrations of team. With Jesus and his ministry, we just see how, let me just make a couple points, because you've all studied this. I'm sure you've all given talks on teams. So as I was thinking about it, I said, well, what do we say to you people? Just like we just did. I mean, you know what it is to be a team. You know what elements are important for a team. So let's just pick out a few things that might be important. First of all, the thing I take away from Jesus is, in his case, he chose the team. But he had a purpose. And why did he choose them? The primary reason he chose them was for training and for development. And so he told them, come with me, because I'm going to get you together and send you out. Great illustration for a team that you pull together for development purposes. Now, teams always have multiple purposes in one sense, but one is always primary. When Jesus looked at the fact that he needed a team, he didn't need a team. He didn't need to be complimented in one sense, because Jesus had it all. He was the complete person. But he illustrated for us because he did need them, didn't he? He couldn't go down and get the little donkey and pull them up. He couldn't go set up the room for the Last Supper. He couldn't do a lot of things. And there were more than just these people. There were others. There were women who were absolutely vital for the team, who were there all the time. And one thing I got out of that team, I asked myself the question, were those women on the team equal partners? Were they just as much team members as the 12? And I'm not just saying that just because of sociologically we find it important to include women on team. I go through there and I see the respect and the care that he had for them. I think they were all equal, but they had different roles, different responsibilities, and that was the key. And so you can have people, and Jesus treated them all the same. Now he focused on some, more time, built them up. Why? Because of the ultimate purpose was, I think when he chose them, he was looking at the Great Commission. And when that was ready, when those 12 were ready, he was ready to go home. And that's when he said in John 17:4, I finished the task. And he wasn't talking about salvation, the cross, he hadn't been there. But he's talking about a task. And the task was to prepare those 12 and others for the ministry that he had for them. And so it was a team that was committed to development and training for the purpose that they would go out and preach initially, but also accomplish the Great Commission. You will do that, and you have 1,000 people to train them and develop them. The thing that is interesting to me, and I just finished last year a long study on Christ and his development, or the development of the disciples, was that he did in the context of two things, always in the context of mission and the context of relationships. fascinating study to take all the relationships that Jesus referred to those disciples with, servant and disciple, and then later on he gets going, and later, about two-thirds the way through his 3 years, you'll see a new term comes in. And the new term goes beyond servanthood, friends. And so he didn't recruit them to be friends. He didn't recruit them based on relationship. He recruited them on vision and mission. And that's very important to understand. When we recruit people to a team, what do we recruit them to? Particularly a training one. We recruit them to a vision and a mission, a purpose. I will make you fishers of men. He committed himself to that, and he kept the relationship. And then as they grew in that, the relationships grew tighter and closer, and the Lord blessed them in that way. The second team, Paul and his team, there was a lot of training that went on in Paul's team, but I think the primary purpose of Paul's team was to accomplish a task. They joined him to go accomplish a task, and that was very important to understand. Come with me, we're moving. And in the context of accomplishing the task, training went on. Very good training. So training seems to always be a part of it, but sometimes it's primary and sometimes it's secondary. I think with Paul, the drive to move on and bring the gospel to the lost people, to the Gentiles, was absolutely crucial. Then we have the elders team. Titus 1 tells us a lot about that. I call this the overseeing team. The overseeing team. This is the team of a local body that leads, and they have a various purposes. They give oversight to the work of the ministry, the local body. They shepherd, they develop people. They set the example to live and walk, as we see in Hebrews 13:7. These people are a different kind of team. It's an oversight team. So these are three primary illustrations we find in the New Testament. But then we see short action teams, like in Luke 10. Disciples went out two by two. We see a married couple going back all the way to Genesis. They're put together. One was not complete without the other. And God brought them together, man and woman. That was the first team. And you are a team, as you are married. And that's we need to look at ourselves that way. When the kids come along, they join the team. And that's an exciting thing, to see a family as a team. And so there are others, and we could go on and on. But lots of illustrations in Scripture. Let me just take one. I mentioned this is not, you don't have this with you. But I wanted to mention something here. And that is this. The passage of Ephesians 4:16. Just, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. If you look at these few, you'll see this. At least I do. From him, the whole body. It's from Christ. He is the body. He's the one we draw our energy from. He's the one that is the source, the head, the leader, the ultimate leader of the big team, the big body. And so we look at that and we see passages that are so strengthening here. We look at Colossians 1, 16 through 18. Christ holds it all together. He is the one and only. He is the leader. He is the one to be the preeminent one. And we know these. And then John 15, 5. We can do nothing without him. Nothing. So it's from him. The team gets its strength. I have been in teams that did not look to the Lord for their strength. Did not sense that they were nothing but a sub-team of the big team. God, Christ leading the big team, and we are just a sub-team of that. And so we look to Christ to do that. Then we look at joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds us up in love. I think three elements are absolutely crucial as we look in the Scriptures. Crucial that Christ these are the bonding elements. Christ bonds us. We're his children. We are co-laborers in his field. It is his work. And we come together around him. So he bonds us. Then we have purpose. That is an all-embraced purpose. We agree with this purpose. And this is so important that we have a reason. We have a reason, and it isn't just an activity that we're coming together to do evangelism, but it's something greater than that. We don't define our team by activities. If you define your team by activities, I think you're in a weak team. You've got to have a team greater than that. It's got to be much greater. Purpose is very, very important. And then love one another's. You've seen the one another's take place, but you look at this, and you know these, but let me just show it to you briefly. Look at these one another's. When you look at it one shot, it's pretty strong. Love one another. Restore one another. Carry each other's burdens. Bear with and forgive one another. Bear up one another. Encourage to believe. Protect from sin's deceitfulness. Stir one another up to love and good works. Encourage to hope. Confess and pray for one another. As these are going into a team, among a group of people that are becoming a team, if these are active, you'll see a tremendous impact. It'll be fruitful. The doors will open up for the gifts to run freely. And you'll reach a point, which I have defined as that you get to a place where you submit to one another's strengths and protect one another's weaknesses. And that's very, very important. To submit to one another's strengths and to protect one another's weaknesses. Absolutely crucial. And so that's the one another's. Well, as we see this, then the last part, each does his part. The differences become a strength. Know your contribution. That's absolutely crucial. You brought these out. And go for it with all your heart. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You're free to give yourself to it because this is the area that the team is depending upon you in this area, and this is crucial. So this is important for us. Well, let me just take this and go from there and cover a couple of things that are important to us. Now, a lot of the things based especially, I wanted to ask you that question because I wanted to see where you are. You'll see on point C, if you just flip it over there, they're key elements. Some of the ones, the very ones that you said. And I won't have time to develop those, but I wanted to put them up there. Purpose and goal for the team. Intra-team communication within the team. Very, very crucial. Mutual trust within the team. It's built on mutual trust is on integrity, faithfulness, and loyalty. Can't unpack that right now, but you understand those. Joint ownership, absolutely crucial. We move from an I, me, and mine to a we, us, and ours. That's very important. When you catch people saying we, you know you've come to a unity. You catch it, not kind of adjusted, but you catch people say, well, that's ours. Or that's we did that. And then a healthy interdependence. Healthy interdependence, as I've defined there, is just where you're standing on your own two feet in your own capacity. You're developing yourself. You're growing in Christ. But you put an arm, you don't lean on the other person. But you put your arm up and you're healthily relating to one another. So you're independent and dependent at the same time, interdependent. And so that's very, very important to us. Let me just cover a couple other things. Could you pass that one out there, Roger? The couple things that have been important to me as I've looked at teams. And one is this illustration which I'm passing out to you. This is called shared leadership. Now look at that. Can you see it? Yeah, okay. What's interesting down here? What observations do you have right here?
Three teams.
Three teams. Well, let's say they're stopped. Okay, what other observation? Running into each other. What else?
Well, they're talking to each other. They each have a hold of their own thing.
Okay, that's right. Susan just said they're talking to each other. But they're each linked up to their own burden, their own responsibility they're pulling, right? What happens when that takes place? You've been in that. You've understood. You've been invited to a team, but you are pulling a big wagon yourself. And you're now supposed to be in this team. So you come together and talk, but what happens? Yes? Okay, competition. Uh-huh. Comparisons. Yes? Yes. So you come together and you only want to talk about what you're doing, and maybe you'll talk a little bit here, but you can't unloose yourself from this one. And that's hard, and it's not shared leadership at that point. You're talking. There are just a few things that are going on here that, and so what I call this is, here is we come together. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not enough. It's just not enough. We come together, and so we will communicate. We'll coordinate. And we'll consult. And that's about all you're able to do in that level, because we're just there together. And we are pulling our load, and your load prevents you from throwing yourself into the joint project or whatever it is. Well, then we get to the next one here. What do we see different here? What do we observe as different? Okay, we have dropped these. But are they far away? Not far. So they're still somewhat. So here is another step, because we're least released from this. So here we think together. Think together. And we can add on to the consulting and coordination and communication some other things. Because we're thinking together, we can begin planning. And we can make decisions together. More time. Planning and decision making, adding to these. So that's good. But in many ways, that's as far as we've ever gotten for a lot of our experiences with teams. But the third level, what do we see there? Pulling together one big wagon. And so this is what I call we work together. We pull the load. We've dropped, not only dropped these others, which is good, but we've picked up something else. We've picked up ownership of a one goal or one purpose together. Now, how many teams have you been on in that level? You don't have to respond. Have you been on any teams that level? It's quite an experience, but it takes time. And one of the key elements that goes through all of this is just need time together, but is this word trust. As the trust grows, as time together grows, as we open up with each other, as we begin to experience one another's strengths and values and abilities and capacities and weaknesses, then it grows. Yes?
This team here, where could we do a work together, or is there...
Mm-hmm. Could this whole group come together like that? Probably be a little bit too big, but I think it's you're perfectly capable of doing this, yes. Mm-hmm. Just take more time. It takes also some unusual coming together of the Spirit of God to link you, being so separate. Normally, you have to be coming together often and at best, you know, geographically available with a proximity to each other. Otherwise, you just don't get enough time together. But that'd be a great goal. So we want to work towards that. And it's absolutely crucial that we do that. Most of us have not been there. And we need to just work at that. This is what I call is we're moving towards not only body life experience, but this is the team that I'm in right now. And Jerry was here with you last night. And but I have been with this team for about 7 years. And we have experienced, or I have experienced, something that I've never experienced before. I've been on a lot of teams. And my background was typically, as most of yours would be, is that it was normally the leader with his team. And once the team was kind of working together with me and helping me, then I never went beyond that. And I'm finding, in not only with my own experience, but helping others, that there's something more beyond that. There's a body life team. There's shared leadership where we're pulling the load together. It isn't just delegated responsibilities that each one has. There's roles that different ones play, but we throw in together. We're truly submitting to one another's strengths and also protecting one another's weaknesses. We were just meeting yesterday, and we were working through our program for our NAV World. It was formerly the President's Conference that we have in January. And it was just a delight to work through. And one would say, well, you do that because you're good at that. And then the other one says, no, let's, you know, Jerry, don't take that. That'll overload you. You don't need the time. You just take a few commitments of speaking because you need to do some other things. And then they say, well, Paul, you do this. And then Donald would say he had a workshop. He says, you know, I just don't do well with the workshop. I'm not an interactive. I'm a lecturer. And he's a super lecturer. And if you've ever heard him, he's just great at that. And we said, well, why don't you just give those two messages or their talks on something? I'm not great at messages, but I'm good at talks, teaching people something. And that's a strength. So we said, that's, it really is. So we changed him and put him another part. And it was just over this one item, but we were putting it all together. And we came up with this in just a couple hours, not only the program, but who should do what, and we all felt really good. Now, I've never been in a team like that. I was so free to say, I can't do that well. They asked me to do one thing, and I said, you know, in light of my time and where I am and what I'm doing right now, that is going to be too much for me. And the other said, yeah, that really is. But could you do one part of this? Would that be possible and contribute if you did it as, you know, with someone else? And I said, yeah, I could do that. I could do that. Great. Let's why don't we do that? And so we worked together with each other, and it was just a real delight. So I think that's one of the things that we want to really aim towards. We may not get there. It's not wrong to be here and just come together. That's where you start. But as you get to know each other and you have the common commitments and continue to grow, it's not long before you're thinking together. And then once you start thinking together and planning and do some things, you soon find yourself working together. And that's a wonderful state. You've reached nirvana. But it won't happen a lot of times. Now, should everybody be in a team? Should every team start out that way and finish that way? No. Sometimes you have a very short-term team. You're there just to accomplish a task. And there are some people that just don't fit in teams. I found people who are just strong loners. They just find it difficult to work together and depend on others and look to others. They have such a strong desire to do it themselves. They just won't fit in the team. And I found also other people who are extremely shy, reserved. They have trouble. People on both ends of the spectrum. But I think we can help them reach a level where we've complemented them and strengthened them. But I do find people, because they all say, well, should everybody be in a team? Well, I would say I would like to see everybody in a team. But not everybody fits. Well, that's it on team. So you've got some other notes and thoughts in there, but you know so much more. When I see your list, I thought, wow, I don't think I need to say anything to this group. So thank you.